Hi, this is Herb Montgomery with the Newhart Ministries, and I welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. This week, you're catching me in sunny Oahu. We're here with friends, and we're visiting one of the heart groups down here and sharing some insights down here with them. This week, with our eSight and with our podcast, I want to be looking a little bit at a phrase that we don't talk about much, and a phrase that Jesus used that I don't think we quite grasp the significance of what Jesus was saying. Our focus text this week is Matthew 26:64, where it says, "You have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven." And this week, I want to talk a little bit about this phrase that Jesus repeatedly used in the Jesus stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the phrase is bar enasha, bar enasha. This is a Hebrew phrase that even historical criticists of the Jesus story admit is original to Jesus when you look at how many times it's used. It's used more than 81 times in the four versions of the Jesus story that we have today, and it's the only phrase Jesus used anywhere nearly as much as the phrase the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom. Modern translations translate this Hebrew phrase, the bar enasha, via its Greek version into the English phrase Son of Man. However, if you look, go back, this is a transliteration from the Greek, which in turn is a transliteration from the Hebrew and the Aramaic, bar enasha. What did this phrase mean is what I want to ask this week. Not in the Greek, but in the Aramaic that Jesus spoke. What was this Hebrew phrase, and what did it capture? The Hebrew phrase comes directly from Daniel 7:13 as well. Actually, that's its root. It's the only place in the Old Testament where it's used, and it's where Jesus directly got it from. Daniel 7:13 and 14 is where Jesus is quoting in our passage. "As I watched in the night visions," Daniel said, "I saw one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the ancient one and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed." And the Hebrews rightly understood this phrase. They understood that it applied not only to an individual, whoever this Son of Man would be, but also to the community that was going to be founded in this individual. Notice the concept of Daniel's phrase, Son of Man, especially in this next verse. It's not an individual, but a people who are birthed from this individual. Verse 27 of Daniel chapter 7 says, "And the kingship and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the holy ones of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey them." Pay close attention, go back and look at verse 13 and 14, and then compare the language with verse 27, and you'll see clearly that the bar enasha, what the English translates as the Son of Man, is much more than a mere individual. It's a new humanity which finds its source in this this individual. Son of Man is merely a Semitic idiom, or son of, rather. Son of is a Semitic idiom, meaning of or pertaining to, following the genus or a species. Translating bar enasha as the true humanity, or the human being, or even the divinely revolutionized humanity, as some historically have called it, or as Martin Luther King called it, the beloved community, would be much better than merely the individualistic Son of Man that we are used to here in the West. Here's a side exercise. Go back and reread all the times that Jesus used the phrase Son of Man, and try to see what Jesus is saying communally. In other words, look at this phrase not merely as Jesus talking about himself as an isolated individual, but rather go back and read these passages and see them as Jesus speaking about himself and this new humanity that he has come to give birth to. It's not Jesus or the new humanity, but Jesus and his new humanity. Now, I also want to be clear about something else, looking at what we're about to say. I don't want to, for a second, be misunderstood on this. I believe wholeheartedly in a literal second coming, a literal physical return of Jesus our Lord to this earth. And this was clearly promised by the angels that accompanied his ascension in Acts 1, 10 and 11, where it says there, while he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And even though we believe in a literal coming, according to this passage, second coming, we must also be honest that when Jesus referred to the coming of the Baranasha, many times he was not always referring to his literal physical return, but to the coming that must precede his literal physical return of this new humanity. He was pointing in many of his uses of Baranasha to the coming of this new humanity, this Baranasha, that must and it will precede his literal physical return. Which leads us to our featured text this week again. Matthew 26:64, Jesus is standing before the high priest and the Sanhedrin at his trial on that early Friday morning. And it says, "But you have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on," right now onward, "you will see the Son of Man," the Baranasha, "sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming on the clouds of heaven." Notice again, here especially, that Jesus is not talking about some event in the future on literal clouds, although Jesus will return on literal clouds. Jesus here is quoting Daniel 7 and saying what Daniel is referring to in verse 13 is taking place at this very moment, right now, before your very eyes. Jesus said, "From now on," and he's quoting Daniel 7:13 and applying it to that very moment, from that very moment onward. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, which was at that moment set in motion, he would be giving birth to this new humanity, the Baranasha. And this is what Jesus had been referring to throughout his entire ministry as the coming of the kingdom. Now, how does this apply to us today? We have to make no mistake here. As followers of Jesus, we're not only invited to be a part of this new humanity birthed through Jesus' death and resurrection, but we're also called to put on display what this new humanity is all about. We're called to be the world changed by Jesus. We're not called to force through legislation change over this world around us. We're as the church, we're called to be a whole new world radically changed by Jesus Christ, to put on display what that looks like. We're called to put on display what this new humanity, birthed out of Jesus' death and resurrection, is all about right now in our lives. Heart group application this week. Number one, this week I want you to look at these texts, not individually as is too often done. I want you to go back and look at these next few passages that I'm about to mention to you. I want you to look at them in their original communal meaning, which scholars today see that Paul actually intended them to be read in. The three verses that I want you to look at communally are these. The first one is 1 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation," remember Jesus talked about the Baranasha, "the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." Galatians 6:15, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation," the Baranasha again. And Ephesians 2:15, it says, "By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity," the Baranasha, "out of the two, thus making peace." So this is, let me say this real quick. This is not to exclude the truth that Jesus makes each one of us new also as we continue to encounter what he and his kingdom are all about. It's absolutely certain that he does that for each of us individually and personally, but he doesn't do it individually outside of a community. He does it for us individually through being a part of this community. These texts are specifically referring to the communal nature of the new creation, the new humanity, the new community, of which Daniel calls the Bar Anasha, and which Jesus' death gave birth to. Remember in John 12:24, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And I want you to consider what you looked at last week in Matthew 5-7 on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus describes what his kingdom, what this Bar Anasha would be all about. And make the connection in your hearts that this kingdom is the Bar Anasha, this new humanity, which claims Jesus as their king and reigns alongside of him. As Revelation 5:10 says, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Go back and cross-reference Revelation 5:10 with Daniel 7:13 and 14 and verse 27. And remember, again, reigning, that's a scary word for some. Reigning in Jesus' kingdom is a radically different type of reigning than the reigning that empires of this world practice. Okay, so number two, meditate on the following four passages that I'm about to share with you. And these are on the physical return of Jesus. And I want you to write down any insights that Jesus may give you as you look into each one of them. I'm going to read through them real quickly here. First one's in Acts 3:21. It says, "Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets." 1 Corinthians 15:25, "Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every competing ruler, every authority and power." In Luke 19:12, "And he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return." And there's actually a fourth one, 2 Peter 3:12, "As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming," make it happen sooner. Number three this week for heart group application, be prepared to share with your heart group not only what you just wrote down as you meditated on those four passages, but also according to the Sermon on the Mount, be prepared to share what you perceive this new humanity, this Bar Anasha, the kingdom, to be all about. And remember, it is Jesus' first coming that gave birth to the coming of this Bar Anasha, whose coming in turn gives birth to Jesus' return, his second return, or his second coming, rather. That'll be his first return. But it's all cause and effect. Remember, the Bar Anasha, Jesus' kingdom, is a radical new way of doing life. And this new way of doing life is based on a radically new picture of the character of God, a radical change in how we view ourselves, as well as a radical change and how we look at everyone else around us, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of color, regardless of financial position, social status, orientation. It changes how we look at everyone. Jesus gave us a way to heal our world. The only alternative, according to Jesus' parables, is annihilation. But we're not there yet. There is still hope. Jesus would not have come here had there not been hope. And the entire Jesus story is a story of an itinerant teacher trying to get the nation of Israel to not continue in the path of the annihilation they experienced in AD 70, but to turn and follow him instead. There is still hope. Jesus, again, would not have come here if there weren't. There's still work to do. The world right now, right here, is where all of us belong. This is our home. It was given back to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're going to be spending eternity right down here, Revelation 21:22, and we're called to put on display the coming of this Bar Anasha, the coming of this new humanity rooted in the person and the teachings of Jesus Christ. We're called to invite all, everyone who's willing, to be a part of this revolution. In a phrase, we're called to, as Jesus put it, enlarge the kingdom. This kingdom, this Bar Anasha, remember, arrived with Jesus' first coming so that Jesus, as his king, can shepherd this new humanity that has grown at his second. In the upcoming weeks, we will be looking at two alternative end-of-the-world scenarios found in the Jesus story. This world is set on a collision course with death, but Jesus gave us a way out. Jesus and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gave us a way to heal our world if we'll only listen to it. We'll get back to that subject in the upcoming weeks. Until then, keep living in love, as Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says. Keep loving like Jesus, and go out there and keep enlarging the kingdom. The Baranasha has come, and if you're willing, you're welcome and invited to be a part of it. I love you guys. Now go build the kingdom. Long live the Baranasha. I'll see you next week.